This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Oru Kayak. They design folding kayaks that can go virtually anywhere, thanks to their lightweight and folding design. We're actually running a little survey for them on She Explores about a new product that they're developing. They've been a really big supporter of the podcast, and it'd be fantastic if you could head over to the podcast section of she-explores.com to take a quick 3-minute survey. And stay tuned for later in this episode. We talk with Angel Mathis, host of the podcast Boldly Went, about how she kayaked down the Hudson River in New York in an Oru kayak. I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores. This is episode 31, To Dad, From Daughter. I didn't come up with the concept for this episode. In fact, it sprang from a Facebook message from a photographer that I met in Salt Lake City last winter. His name is Peter Amend. He has a 7-month-old daughter named Juniper. He wrote in the message, "It would just be wonderful to hear from women about their favorite experiences with their dads, things they wish could have been different, things they wish their dad would have known." He suggested maybe have callers leave short 1 to 2 minute stories about their favorite outdoor memories with dad. And then he wrote, in parentheses, "Getting teary thinking about my daughter romping around outdoors one day." How could I say no to that? I put the query out to you, the listeners, and you delivered. I received more submissions than I could publish, but I pulled out the ones that reflect that of the whole. Many of us, for better or worse, were introduced to the outdoors by our fathers. Another podcast, Out There, created by Willow Belden, did a fantastic show for Mother's Day with listener submissions if you're looking for something mom-related. Overall, it's a really great podcast, so well produced, and I highly recommend it.
There's this smile that my dad makes that is so genuine and so childlike that only appears under 2 specific circumstances, at least from what I've seen.
This is Lee Alskog.
One of those times is when he's holding a little baby, and the second time is when he's caught a beautiful fish. When I think about my dad, that's the face that I picture, that giddy, childlike smile that comes from within. My dad has taught me a lot about the outdoors, a lot of firsts, from my first pink fishing rod to my first backpacking trip, to my first time getting lost in the woods, which worried my mother quite a bit. I think that's the wonderful thing about the wilderness. It's comforting and challenging at the same time, which is very much like a good father, like my father. There's this song that, lucky for you listeners, I'm not going to sing, but will repeat because I think these words say it best. "And she thinks we're just fishing on the riverside, throwing back what we could fry, drowning worms and killing time, nothing too ambitious. She ain't even thinking about what's really going on right now, but I guarantee this memory's a big one, and she thinks we're just fishing." Dad, when you hear this, I just want you to know that I love you and I'm thankful. Thankful for you taking me just fishing.
Lee wrote that her dad still shows her the ropes and unhooks her tree fish. The country song Lee quotes by Trace Adkins rings true in the other stories we received. Bonding with our fathers in the outdoors builds meaningful memories and shapes us in subtle ways.
"Most of what I know about the outdoors, I learned from my dad."
This is Molly Bauman.
"Some of my earliest memories I can recall are adventures my dad took me and my siblings on. I remember being about 5 years old and sitting in a canoe with him in the rear, paddling for miles down the Wisconsin River, pointing out wildlife as we moved swiftly through the water and listened to the sounds of the great outdoors. He took our family across the country to explore the national parks. Most of his hobbies involved getting outside and matching the beat of his soul with nature, no matter the season. And I learned a lot just from witnessing his way of life. He thirsted for time with nature as if it was the elixir of life, and seeing the man it made him made me crave the same. As I grew older, I began to realize that roughing it with my dad out in the wilderness was such sacred time. I didn't even know it when I was younger, but the time we spent in the outdoors together, hiking, camping, fishing, canoeing, those were some of the single most significant experiences which shaped the woman I am today. Those experiences instilled a sense of courage and boldness within my heart that extends into nearly everything I do, for they made me understand what I am truly capable of as a woman. I don't know if I could ever thank my dad sufficiently for the ways he impacted my relationship with the natural world and continues to do so. The lessons he taught me during the times we shared among the pines and the waves and the mountains, perhaps unknowingly, revealed to me what it means to live a meaningful life, to be fully and completely and wholly alive.
Emily O'Connor found a surprise passion through the guidance of her dad.
One day, my sister and I, when we were young teenagers, were sitting in her room talking. My dad knocks on the door and he goes, "Hey girls, I have an idea. Do you want to get our scuba certifications next weekend?" I definitely was not sure about that, but we got our books, we studied up, we went that weekend, did our pool dives, did our test, and next thing you know, this spur of the moment idea became a trip to the Florida Keys to do our open water certification dives. I was so nervous going into these dives, but once you got a few feet under the water and you're just surrounded by only the sounds of water and your own breath, as you went lower and could start to see this incredible world that exists side by side with ours, this really peaceful, quiet, beautiful, colorful world, I just became enthralled. And that really just opened up a whole new love for me. I ended up studying marine biology in college. I interned and volunteered at aquariums. I still scuba dive regularly. That's something that I probably wouldn't have done on my own. I definitely, on those first few dives, would get really nervous too about exploring under the water or worrying about was he checking all the things that he needed to check on his equipment and trying to be a good buddy, but really just being nervous or afraid. And that definitely is my natural inclination. And it's funny that I was worried about him because he is the one who always walked me through how we were going to be safe and how we were going to accomplish something that I might have been afraid to try at first. My sister is a lot like him, and I think we make a good buddy team together. It is good to have the one cautious person on the team to sort of be a check and balance on that. But I'm so grateful for how I've grown over the years of diving to trust myself and my buddies and explore a whole new world that really my dad opened for me.
Thanks for showing it to me, Dad.
Emily Carino's father nourished her love for the mountains with the little spare time he had.
My dad certainly played an integral role for my love of the mountains. Looking back, I realized he was kind of an absent dad during the week. He worked 80 hours. I would not see him in the mornings and I would not see him in the afternoons. Yet, what I remember of our childhood was our time together camping and him taking me to the mountain every Saturday and Sunday. 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the back, 8 hours of driving a weekend just to support me so I could go train. He pushed me to be a strong skier, which pushed me to be a strong woman. He led me up to the top of brain damage at Crystal Mountain at 8 years old and encouraged me and told me I could do it and was right behind me. My love for nature stemmed through those experiences with him, and I really can't imagine him doing anything different. So to all you new dads out there, don't worry about when you're absent. Just focus on what you can do when you're there, because that's what we'll remember most. I love you, Dad.
And yet, not all the dads we heard about were as present.
Dear Dad,
this is Kara, reading a letter she wrote to her father.
Sometimes I wonder how different I would be today if you had been there more then. Sometimes I wonder which traits of yours I'd have adopted, be it in demeanor or attitude. There are ways in which I remind myself of you sometimes, your soft heart and hard shell, your love of literature, female vocalists, and the sound of gentle rain, that excitement you feel from capturing the perfect candid photo and your aching need to have an eye-catching landscape fill your windows. Sometimes I wonder if these small and simple memories are less what I remember of you, and more of who I've made you up to be in my mind. Four times. I can only count four times that I've seen you over the last 6 years, and never for long enough. But I hold no grudge, no resentment. I understand. I know in your heart you try, and regardless of the time that's passed apart from each other, I still see you as I did before you left our weekend ice cream binges and reruns of The Simpsons. I wonder if you remember. I wonder if you remember all the silly things I said as a little girl that made you laugh. All the questions I asked and how you answered them, best that you could. I wonder. We may not truly know each other now, but I can say for sure, if there's one part of you that I will always carry with me as my own, it's your endless sense of wonder.
While I no longer have a relationship with my father, I do 100% owe my love for the outdoors to him, and I'm truly grateful for that.
This is Jesse.
Growing up, I was definitely a daddy's girl. I loved being outside, and he always made sure that we lived somewhere where my imagination could flourish, and any opportunity I wanted to be outside was always present. When I was 10, he bought me my first horse. From there, I developed a love for trail riding. Trail riding kind of consists of just packing up your tent, sleeping bag, food, cookware, and canteens, pretty much anything you need, onto your horse, and you just take off on a trail. I really think that was where my love for being on the trail and the general started, being on a horse, dropping the reins, and just getting lost. We would do that on the weekends all the time. It's a childhood memory that I'm really fond of. When I was 13, my father rode through the Smokies on horseback, which is the only section horses are allowed on the AT, besides 4 miles or so in Maryland. Thinking back on it now, I think it's really special as I prepare to hike the PCT next year. It's almost like these routes as a future thru-hiker started with my father riding a section of the Appalachian Trail.
I asked Jessie if she was comfortable sharing why she's estranged from her father, and she shared, quote, "He had some mental health issues that he had difficulty overcoming. I was 19 at the time and really struggling with the repercussions of his bouts of anger, mania, and depression. Sometimes I felt like I was the adult and he was the child. I carried a lot of resentment for a few years, which was pretty heavy on my mind and my heart. I'm 26 now and I have come to a place where I live a positive life, and I understand the nature of the human psyche in a more spiritual way. I really enjoy looking back on the happy memories like hiking, camping, and trail riding, and how much of that wild spirit of my childhood remains in my soul today." Our next story, from Cordova Pleasance, owner of Resolute Boutique in Southeast Alaska, made me laugh out loud.
Hi, this is Cordova up in Juneau, Alaska, and I wanted to share my dad's story with you all because it's a pretty silly one. When I was a kid, I was probably like 5 or 6 years old. My dad and I were flying in a bush plane, little float plane, 4-seater, down from Juneau to a remote cabin in Port Alexander. So it's like an hour ride float plane through the mountains and through Chatham Strait. And I remember we're about halfway and I realized I had to go pee, like, super bad. And here I am, like, in the middle of nowhere, tapping on my dad's shoulder. "Dad, Dad, I gotta go potty." And he looks at me like, "Really? Like, where are we gonna go? We're in the middle of Southeast Alaska. It's not gonna happen." I'm like, "Okay, Dad, but I gotta go. We gotta sort this out." He starts to descend the plane, and I remember just looking around, remembering, there's nothing here. I don't see a town. Like, this is not home. There's no boats or houses down below. And sure enough, he starts to land the plane right next to the shoreline in Chatham Strait, which, if you know the area, can get really rough really fast. And so here we are in this little dinky plane. And I start to cry because I'm like, what is going on? I don't see a bathroom here. And he grabs me by my shirt collar and pops open the door and you know, hangs me out the side, pulls my pants down, and I'm like crying and peeing. And I just remember the story that I had learned about Jonah and the whale. He got eaten by the whale, and I'm just like, this is the end of my life. Like, I'm crying and peeing and I'm going to get eaten by a whale. Like, this is it. Like, I'll see everyone later. This is how I'm going out. And I finish peeing. My dad pulls my pants up and puts me back in the plane and takes off like it was no big deal. That story stuck with me pretty good because through the years, my dad and I have gone flying all over Southeast Alaska. And now that he's getting older, his prostate is going out. And so now we are constantly descending the plane and going and peeing in Lituya Bay or taking a quick stop over at Bear Knob Warm Springs. So I'm pretty sure that my dad has pretty much peed in every inlet and bay throughout all of Southeast Alaska. And I owe my dad for all of our explorations throughout Southeast Alaska and just growing up and peeing in the woods.
I love how Cordova's story comes full circle. Anything can happen when you're out in nature, and sometimes it's your own fault. Madeline Newell shares a story of learning to go with the flow.
My dad is an excellent backpacker. He is so knowledgeable about backpacking skills and routes, but what impresses me the most is his ability to stay relaxed no matter the circumstances. Despite having quite a bit of outdoor experience, I can have a hard time quelling my anxieties in the backcountry. My brain just jumps to the worst case scenario. But he is so calm, confident, and good-humored that it rubs off on me whenever I hit the trail with him and encourages me to leave my comfort zone. Our most recent backpacking trip was on the Lost Coast Trail on the coast of Northern California. On the first night, when we went to set up our tent, we realized that the poles weren't in the stuff sack. If I were alone, I probably would have kicked myself for not thinking to double-check all of my gear and feared the coming nights without shelter, vulnerable to wildlife and the elements. But with him, the whole situation was hilarious. We happily cowboy camped under the stars and enjoyed the ocean breeze. We ended up seeing dozens of shooting stars as we lay awake chatting before falling asleep. We would have missed them if we were cozied up in a tent. It felt like the universe was telling me to stop fearing the worst, to take a note from my dad. Now I try to emulate him when I'm stressed or afraid, on or off the trail.
These experiences carry through our lives like strings we can pull on when we need to. The give at the other end is our support system and our own self-confidence. Allison Heapsch was given a foundation by a father.
My name is Allison, and my reflection on my father and the outdoors is going to be a little different than any of the other women submitting recording, I suspect, because I'm a transgendered woman, and my experience growing up was that of a boy, and my dad really pushed me to become involved with the Boy Scouts when I was about 10. I had resisted joining Cub Scouts for years and years. I was just so shy, and finally he said, no, you're going to do this, and I absolutely fell in love with it. I can remember the first camp out that we went on, and he went on as well. It was at Wildcat Mountain State Park in western Wisconsin, which is a place I've returned to many, many times over again. It's this beautiful wooded hill with a field on top and a deep, wild valley with a winding river that is just gorgeous, and it's lovely to float down. The other thing he did was really to encourage me to follow my passion for leadership, even though I was shy. Eventually, I became an Eagle Scout, and I think that really largely happened because it was a couple of years later when I was up at Scout Camp, and it was my birthday, and he surprised me on my birthday by telling me that he had arranged for me to stay an extra week at camp with a bunch of kids that I didn't know. They really pulled me out of my skin, and it also allowed me to spend a lot of time with the camp staff because there's this 24-hour period between 1 week worth of campers leaving and the other week coming in. Just amazing leaders who I had looked up to. That really gave me the start to where I am today. I was married for 15 years and really away from the outdoors during that whole time. But then after I divorced, I was looking for something new to do, and I started getting involved in the outdoors again. And now, just 3 years later, I become really active in an outdoor club here in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area, and I'm now the president of it, so it's about a 500-member outdoor club, and I think it really got its start way back then in that first camp out when I was 10, and then in that extra time at camp. As I look back at what I would tell my dad, I don't think he'd be surprised to hear that, not in the least, because I've told him before that the things he did then to support me in my love of the outdoors and in leadership just helped me immensely. As far as becoming a leader, both in the outdoor community in the Twin Cities and in my career. If there's one thing else that I'm reflecting on as this Father's Day comes around is whether or not I'm really being a good father. My girls, even though they've known me as a woman for years now, they still call me Dad. And so they still look to me as a father. Boy, I wish I could do more to get them involved in the outdoors and to really love it. And so maybe one day they'll come around. They're teenagers now. So maybe in 3, 4, or 5 years, maybe I'll see them back. Maybe they'll be asking me to take them into the backcountry. If there's one thing I've learned from my life, it's that people can change.
Yes, people can change. Allison's story is unique, from son to daughter, and yet still a dad to 2 daughters. Teenage years are so tough. We'll hear from women about how they pulled away from their dads at that time and how they came together again after a word from our sponsor, Oru Kayak. The folks at Oru Kayak believe that connecting to nature is a deep human need. I talked with Angel, host of Boldly Went podcast, about her Oru Kayak.
It's just so funny. Walking around with an Oru Kayak is the best conversation starter that you've ever had. I have met so many people just by taking out my kayak and walking down to Lake Washington, which is only about a mile from my house, just because they want to know what's in my backpack. It's so fun, though, because people are so interested. That was true in New York, too, because when we got on the train in New York, everyone was stopping to talk to us, to ask us what was in those backpacks. And that was just such an unexpected experience to have in that close to New York City, that so many strangers would just stop and chat and ask us about what trip are we on and what have we been doing and what, you paddled the Hudson? What? Tell me more about that.
Hear more about Angel's Hudson River experience on the next episode of She Explores. And in the meantime, get on the water in a beautiful, foldable Oru Kayak. Learn more at www.orukayak.com. That's www.orukayak.com.
Dad led on the way out, but this time we were cruising.
This is Ruthie Cathers, talking about a backpacking trip she took with her dad in Ohio. On the way in, Ruthie led the way, chatting and taking her time, 4 hours all told. The way out, her dad led at a much faster pace.
No talking, not many breaks. He ended up getting about a quarter mile lead on me, so all I could hear was my heavy breathing, pack squeaking, and twigs crunching. We got back to the car in about 2 hours, and Dad had a big grin on his face. I didn't say much because I was exhausted, but while we were getting in the car, Dad says, "You know, there's a part of me that's always in the woods." Dad taught me how to escape, how to let nature melt into my life and change me, become a part of me. He taught me how to shut up and listen to what's around me, how to push my body. He taught me how to always keep a part of me in the woods, even though I spend 40 hours of my week in an office. I am who I am because of my dad. I just wish I had realized it sooner. You see, my dad is quiet, withdrawn, shy. So my forward-thinking, outspoken teenage self was unable to accept his humble brilliance, which caused conflict when I lived at home. It was not until college, when I gained independence and my personality calmed down and was accepting of those different than I am, that my dad and I were able to bond. Now, some of my favorite memories are with my dad, like when he kicked my butt on a hike in southern Ohio, or when we walked 80 miles through the rolling hills of northern England, or when we road tripped to Nevada from Ohio and back, and many to come. I wish he had fought to get to me, though. I wish he could have pushed through the teenage bullcrap to get to the real me and take me outside. But I wish I could have flung off my teenage bullcrap to get to him and go outside with him and play. Either way, the chances that we have are happening right now, and it is up to both of us to make the most of them, even if it means my dad kicking my butt whenever we go hiking.
Ruthie's right. We are all to blame, and no one is to blame. One listener wrote in an email, quote, "I wish you would encourage me to try new things and be fearless. I wish you would introduce me to the wonders of being in nature. I wish we had more adventures together. I suppose it's not too late to start, though." Serena Dufault has a similar story of breaking through the teenage bubble.
My parents are both immigrants. My mom came from Italy with her family when she was 11. And my dad moved to the U.S. from India when he was 26. I grew up in the Chicago suburbs, not exactly a hotbed of outdoor recreation. My dad was always into travel, national parks, nature, and photography. That's where I inherited my wanderlust. We didn't do long hikes or any camping, but our family vacations often included the outdoors. Teen years were tough. A strict father from a different culture, he tried to keep me from sleepovers, dating, and a lot of other common teen things. We butted heads all the time. When I moved to Tucson to study at the University of Arizona, our relationship changed and we were able to get along again. We traveled well together, and when my dad visited, I took him hiking and we explored Arizona together. He loved it and ended up being my biggest supporter. I section hiked the 800-mile Arizona Trail, mostly solo, in 2008-2009, and my dad came out from Chicago three different times to be my support crew. My dad would drop me off, we've had our respective adventures for several days, and then regroup and go for a good meal and a hotel room and share stories and pictures. In 2014, I thru-hiked the Arizona Trail in a 2.5-month-long journey. Once again, he was my support crew. This time for the majority of the hike. It was always great to see my dad waiting at the end of a section. Currently, I'm working on section hiking the length of Grand Canyon, and my dad continues to support me in my adventures however he can. When people have expressed concern for my safety or questioned my ability, my dad always cheers me on and reassures me that I can do anything I set my mind to if I work hard at it. I feel so fortunate to have shared such precious times together with my dad because of trails and national parks. We both get all excited about experiencing beautiful places, capturing the perfect photo, or wildlife sightings. It's a special sort of connection. Me, my dad, and the outdoors.
Growing up, I had no desire to live the adventurous lifestyle that my dad constantly had planned for us.
This is Bridget Windau.
I wanted to stay home, but every Sunday at 6 a.m., my dad would wake me and my brother up at age 6 to catch the first lift for skiing. I would cry and unwillingly go. My summers were spent on week-long raft trips through remote wilderness where my dad would teach us the ecology of our environment. He taught us the Latin names of the vegetation we camped on, the types of fish living in the river, how to spot a healthy river, and to respect nature above all else. And as that young child, I didn't appreciate any of it. In college, I developed severe and crippling anxiety. And during this time, I looked to the outdoors to save me from the whirlwind of thoughts and feelings running through my mind. Being outside was a constant for me growing up, but this time, instead of dreading it, I needed it. I remember confiding in my dad about my anxiety, and although he didn't understand it, he suggested to go hiking. During particularly bad anxiety attacks, I would hike and hike until it passed. Thanks to my dad and anxiety, I rediscovered my love for the outdoors and have developed a deeper connection with it. Being outside is not only a place to play, but it's a place to find solitude, beauty, and the interconnectedness between both people and nature. I have realized how much we need our outdoor spaces for mental clarity, for a healthy ecosystem services, for everything. And young me would have never thought this, but like my dad, I now find home in the outdoors. Thanks, Dad.
Molly McCarty, who we hear from next, has a more complicated relationship with her dad, which resulted in a more complicated relationship with the outdoors.
My name's Molly. I grew up in Oregon. My parents divorced when I was very young, so I split my time between my mom's house in the suburbs and my dad's house in whatever wild place he was choosing to live in. He had a series of apartments or rooms he was renting or farmhouses. He found cabins in the sort of surrounding areas of where my mom lived. So while he went to school in the suburbs, I would come out to this rural town or forest or whatever. It was a really beautiful way of experiencing the outdoors for me. I always thought of my father as a mountain man. He's very physically able, somewhat impervious to the elements. You know, his way of doing the outdoors was just kind of to kill it. I'd go on these big backpacking trips or canoe trips, cross-country skiing, stuff like that, and if it was my weekend with him, then I'd go with. While that sounds really fun and romantic, it was actually fairly overwhelming. I'm not impervious to the cold, and I'm not super physically able in some ways that my father is. I'm actually very sensitive, and I guess that would be my advice if I could go back in time, if I could impart that to him, just to say, you know, hey, check in with me, see if this is working with me. Because really, a lot of it wasn't. While these experiences were really neat, they were also just so hard that it made me fairly scared of the outdoors, and I spent a lot of my teens and 20s believing that I just wasn't an outdoorsy person, because to me, the outdoors has been equated with high-volume, extreme sports that are overwhelming to my body and brain. As I've gotten older, I've kind of been able to start generating my own experience of the outdoors in ways that really suit my sensitivities and need for restfulness and warmth. But I think that that's something I would want new dads to know, just that your child's experience of the outdoors might be really different than yours. It might not, but to really allow them to have their own relationship to the natural world.
Madeline Boga's father planted the seeds of conservation.
My dad was the first one to take me hiking. Initially, I was on his back, napping in a child carrier, my head bouncing up and down on the towel he put on his shoulder for padding. He bought me my first pair of hiking boots. They were fuchsia and purple. He helped me train for my first ever backpacking trip, a summer in the Sierras, the very place he fell in love with the outdoors. He lent me his clunky, well-loved gear from the 70s and 80s until I could invest in my own. Never say can't is one of his adages. He continues to encourage me to get outdoors, to hike, to explore. Being his only child and a girl never hindered his support. I remember one time while camping when I was about 6 years old, he found me pulling some bark off a redwood. I remember him kneeling down, pointing to the dripping sap, and saying gently, "You see that? That's the tree crying." That reverence and conservation ethic has stuck with me, and I'm forever grateful.
I also heard from many listeners whose fathers have passed away, but live on in other ways.
One summer, back in my high school days, my dad and I went fishing in the Kenai Peninsula in Alaska.
This is Adela.
As we drove up the scenic Seward Highway back home to Anchorage with a cooler loaded with salmon, I remember my dad gazing at the mountains before us and saying with a certain awe, "Man, when you look at that, it's so beautiful, only in Alaska." Of course, I was just a teenager, and the gorgeous landscape before me meant nothing. I was jaded by years spent growing up in the last frontier. "Yeah, sure," I had responded, brushing it off, because to a 15-year-old, there was nothing more than mounds of rock in the distance. A few years later, I left home for college in the lower 48, trading that lush scenery for a concrete jungle. But I wasn't away for more than a year before I received the most heart-wrenching phone call from home. Between sobs, my mom and my brother relayed this story. Dad had been dip netting for salmon on the Copper River like he did every summer. But this time, as he was hauling in a net, he was struck by a massive heart attack and collapsed on the shore. Despite everyone's best efforts to resuscitate him, he was gone. I flew home from Annapolis, Maryland the next day, and I buried him. And so began this long, slow process of grieving, in which I could not for the life of me be consoled. As heartbreaking as it was to bury a parent, I found peace in one thing: that my father died in a beautiful place, doing something he loved. Some witnesses say that before he collapsed, he had two fish in his net. I'd like to think that as he left us, beneath the peacefulness of the mountains, the warmth of the sun, and the crisp Alaskan air, his weary soul was finally at peace. My dad was the only person that could ever talk any sense into me, and maybe that's why when I lost him, I lost all sanity myself. And maybe that wasn't a bad thing. Somewhere between the dark ages and the renaissance that I strive for now, I found the trails. I found a love for hiking that took me to the depths of the Grand Canyon and the peaks of the San Bernardino Mountains, between starry nights spent in Joshua Tree or Sunday mornings on Angel's Landing. I found myself running towards the wide open spaces that I had shunned as a teen. Maybe I was looking for solitude. Maybe all I wanted was resilience. Maybe I was searching for my dad. Years ago, that scenery hadn't been enough. But now, it's all I'll ever want. I realize now that maybe Dad wanted to raise a family in Alaska because he understood that nature will never cease to comfort us, even in our darkest moments. Really, all I want to say is this. Dad, thank you. Thank you for teaching me that it's okay to fawn over mountains and wide open spaces. There really are some lessons that cannot be taught in the classroom, and I will always be grateful for the ones I learned in the great outdoors when I had you by my side.
Growing up in the Bible Belt of Alabama, my mother raised my sisters and me in the Episcopal Church, which the Southern Baptists we were surrounded by hardly recognized as a Christian denomination.
Here's M.C. Robertson's story.
In addition to our church community's Whiskeypalian tendencies, our father was a creaster, someone who only went to church on Christmas and Easter. Despite my father's lack of need for a church community, he was one of the most spiritual people in my life. Every day, he went for a 3-mile walk in the woods to the lake on the property behind our house. He was a ritualistic person who found comfort and much-needed solitude for his daily meditations in the privacy of the woods. During my freshman year of college, I received the phone call that no one ever expects, but the moment it's there, you know exactly what's coming. As soon as the phone was handed to me, I heard the urgency and brokenness in my mom's voice as she told me, "Daddy died," between sobs. She kept saying it over and over, "Daddy died, Daddy died." And as much as the 18-year-old me completely deflated, I realized that the love of my mom's life of almost 30 years was unexpectedly and dramatically taken from her way too soon. It's been over 7 years since my dad passed away, and not a day goes by that I don't wish he was physically here with my mom and my sisters and me. And although I can't see him or touch him or have a conversation with him, I still communicate with him. When I'm in nature, I can feel the messages that he sends to me. Each time the wind rustles the dried leaves above me, I hear his sage and welcomed advice. Each time I see a blue jay land nearby, I feel his omnipresent peace wash over me. I know that he communicates to me through nature because in the woods is where I know his spirit resides. I'm so grateful for the walks that he shared with me when I was younger. He would tell me stories of when he was a boy growing up in the very woods we walked in. He would impart his worldly wisdom and viewpoints that vastly differed from what we were surrounded by in our small blue-collar town. He also taught me about the trees and the animals that surrounded us. Every year, a few weeks before Christmas, several weeks after everyone else in our town donned Christmas decorations, our family would take a group walk to find the perfect Charlie Brown-looking tree. We'd watch as Dad cut it down with a handsaw, and we'd all pitch in to drag it home. I always will cherish these memories. The connectedness I feel to my dad when I'm tucked away in the woods is part of the reason I plan to hike the Appalachian Trail next spring. And I know if he were here today, he would fully support that plan.
That inspiration and support continues is so special. Sarah Brandt contemplates an influence her dad has had that's snuck up on her.
Truth be told, Gail, like you, I'm a reluctant sharer who hates talking about herself. Well, Dad's. Mine's actually no longer with us. Several years ago, he passed away from brain cancer. It was a long, hard fight, and my mom was the 5-star general of it all. My dad was really a consummate outdoorsman, the de facto gatekeeper catalyst for our excursions. My parents were back to the Landers in Wisconsin in my younger years, so When he wasn't working his job at the local paper mill, he hunted and fished as a way to play outside, mentor his daughter, and provide us with protein. After he passed, we turned inside. Mom had to work and raise the kid, me, which meant she didn't have much time to continue teaching me all that stuff like backpacking, archery, how to build bird blinds, and how to choose the right fly. As I got older, I didn't have the confidence to get outside by myself. As a solo female, I thought I wasn't whatever enough, fill in any adjective you will, skilled enough, tough enough, cool enough. But that changed a few years ago when I went on my first solo backpacking trip on the Rogue River Trail in southern Oregon. And each summer, I return to the U.S. to do another solo trip, even if it's just for the night. I've been living in Asia for 7 years, but this year I'm moving back and probably moving closer to a life that my dad might have dreamed of. About a camper, I'll be working from the road remotely, and I suspect I'll find bits of him along the way. Most recently, I saw him in the fly fishers on the Yellowstone River in Montana. I'm not doing this for him or because of him, but only after I dove into it and bought the damn RV, I realized he would have loved to be a part of this. Like father, like daughter, I suppose, even after death. So, thanks, Dad.
And Katie Gillespie's story is not so different. As she says, thanks to her dad teaching her to love the outdoors, they'll always be together.
My dad died almost 4 years ago. He was the best person I knew, and he taught me so much, but I think the legacy that he gave me was a love for the outdoors. My parents took me camping for the first time when I was just a baby. We would rent cabins up north in Wisconsin most summers, and he'd take my brother and I fishing early in the morning. He used to always tease me about how much I liked putting the leeches on the hook. Nature is where I feel at peace, where the anxious thoughts in my brain shut off, where I feel a sense of awe and wonder and connected to something larger than myself. And it's why, after he died, I moved from Chicago to Vermont, a place I'd only ever been once before for my job interview. I moved here so I could hike and camp and see the stars and mountains, to listen to spring peepers and birds calling. And now that he's gone, it's where I feel my dad's presence. I know he's in the trees and the sunshine and the gentle breeze. There's even a Gillespie Peak on the Long Trail. I like to think that it's our mountain and a sign that I'm right where I'm supposed to be. A love of nature is the best thing my dad could have ever given me because it unites us and we'll always have that. Thanks, Dad.
My dad built backpacking and hiking trails for a living. He did this for over 50 years.
This is Tiffany Morrison talking about her dad, Jerry.
I don't think he was ever really aware of the impact that he had on the world. I know most people don't think about who built the trails that they hike and walk on, but he opened up a whole new world for hundreds of thousands of people to be able to see things they wouldn't have been able to see if he hadn't built those trails. Because he built backpacking and hiking trails for a living, the last thing he wanted to do on his time off was go camping or hiking. And my mom was a real girly girl. Her idea of camping out was staying at the Hilton. So I think he always thought that I was more like my mom than I was like him. But I think I take after my dad. One summer when I was in my mid-20s, someone didn't show up for work, and I was in the area, and I got to work with my dad that summer building trails in the sequoias down in California, and it was the closest I ever felt to my dad, and it was the only time I ever got to work with him. A few years back, he passed away, and when he passed, I decided I was going to make it a goal to try to walk at least a little bit of all of the trails that he built over his lifetime. It will take me the rest of my life to be able to walk them all, but it makes me feel closer to my dad, especially now that he's gone, to be out there in the wilderness where he loved being.
Our last memo is from Serena Beam, and it pulls together many of the themes I heard throughout your submissions.
In the Ken Burns documentary on national parks, park ranger Shelton Johnson says, "In a wild place, you can have a moment that lasts forever." Years before I was born, my dad had one of those moments. Charlie Bowles, my dad, was a farmer and a lumberman. He spent more of his life out of doors than in. The outdoors to Dad wasn't about relaxation or recreation or exercise. It was where he did his work. When my brothers and I were kids, even our leisure time had to have a purpose. If we were in the spring woods with Dad, we were looking for dry land fish. Fancy folks call them morels. During the summer, there were wild blackberries to pick and thistles to chop out. In the fall, he took us to look for ginseng and taught us how to dig it. And on any walk, any time of year, Dad could always find a cow or 20 to get up and a fence to repair. When Dad was a young man, my mama and Papa Bowles still used horses for farm work. I was just a kid the first time I remember Dad talking about plowing a flat and pulling the horses to a stop when he noticed fox pups at play on a hillside. He didn't get all poetic or speak with any noticeable reverence, but it was obvious that he cherished this memory, and it was a story that he told many times. When I was much younger, I envied Dad his fox moment. I am square in middle age now. I still have only seen a handful of foxes, and I've never seen pups. But now that Dad's gone, when I think of his story, it's not the wild pups tumbling with and chasing each other that I imagine. I can feel the heavy thud of hoofs, slow, then still, and hear the harness chains go quiet. The sun is warm on Dad's freckled but then uncreased neck, and it glints off his beautiful red hair. As this man, who would rather work than breathe, stops his task just to watch a very few minutes of wild beauty. I can't say that Dad instilled his superhuman work ethic in me, but what I did get from him, I hope, was the ability to appreciate nature in the everyday and to know when to stop and absorb a moment that can be carried and treasured throughout a life. And that such moments, even those experienced vicariously, can be pulled out and poured over again and again to sustain me through times of tedium or stress or sadness. I am profoundly grateful that Dad shared his lifetime moment with me.
With so many submissions, I feel really tight on time. But I did want to take a moment to mention my own dad, Tom. I could talk about how he took my siblings and I for rides in the back of his pickup truck down Class 6 roads in New Hampshire. How he drove so slow to keep us safe, but how my sister and I pretended we were in a roller coaster because we'd never been to an amusement park before. I could talk about how he took us fishing or how we waited for him with our bathing suits on and towels by our side so he could take us swimming after work on hot summer days. I could go on and on about how my dad taught me to look at the dark, scraggly forest of New Hampshire and see farmland and cellar holes and stone walls. How there's always something to discover if you look a little deeper. I could say I wish I'd been less unhappy as a teenager, that I wish I'd been kinder to him when I didn't know what to say. But really, all I need to say is what I know, that every time I'm behind the wheel, driving for driving's sake, sun low in the trees, on its way up or on its way down, that all roads come from and lead home to you, Dad. Peter, the photographer who suggested this episode, thank you for giving us the opportunity to reflect. I know your Juniper is a lucky, lucky girl. Thank you to all the listeners who submitted voice memos. You can see some photos of the women with their dads on she-explores.com/podcast. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, or even better, share the podcast with a friend. It'll make a huge difference. Thank you to our sponsor, Oru Kayak. If you have a few minutes to spare and you're able to take the survey about a new product that Oru Kayak's making, that would be so great. It should really only take a few minutes and you'll be entered to win a prize pack from She Explores.
Music is by Lee Rosevere, K. Engel, Komiko, Mize, PC1, Nihilor, and Chris Zipersky.
Until next time, bye.